Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% righteousness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
I say more like 95% ratchets.
This is becoming the most prominent form for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they told me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
The people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of Piss and People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, USA.
Yo.
Boy. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, Envy.
It is Monday.
First of all, congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
For your Drive Your Dreams car show. Very successful weekend. I know you've been working really hard to get that pulled off, and it went even better than you planned.
Yeah, that's right. This was something that I dreamt about as a kid. You know, I love cars, and I wanted to do a car show, but every time I tried to do the car show, I either didn't have the money or every time I tried to do it, people necessarily didn't back me because they thought it was good. Car shows are played out. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to try it and do it on my own. And I rented out a spot in Jersey. Shout out to the Meadowlands Expo Center. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. Shout out to Lincoln Tech who hopped on the board, who as soon as they heard the vision, they was like, yes, we're with you. And we expected like 2,000 people. This is the first car show. I didn't really want too many people because I was like, I don't know what to expect. This is my first one. I don't know if I have enough bathrooms. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Enough security. But it turned out amazing. Over 5,000 people came out to that car show over the weekend. And just to see the kids' faces. Now, this wasn't just a family a car show. It was more like a family show. So we had stuff for kids. We had jumpies for kids so they could jump around. We had like a little basketball jumpy so they could play basketball. We had face painting for the little kids. We had a stilt walker. And then we had tons and tons of cars and so many celebrities and people stopped through. It was just an amazing event. No problems, no situations, no altercations.
There were performances.
Amazing food. So it was definitely dope. So shout out to everybody that came out. Really, really appreciate it. Shout out to Cardi B. Cardi B was the first one I asked, can I borrow your car? And absolutely said yes. And she gave me the car like she uses. Like, in the back of the car was her car seat, her stroller, everything.
Wow, she didn't need it?
I guess she didn't need it. So shout out to Cardi B. Shout out to 50 Cent.
50 showed up.
Yeah, 50 showed up. Shout out to, who else? Safari gave me his car. Safari got a car that's a really dope car. It costs $250,000. So he came with that car. Shout out to Nas. Shout out to Swiss.
Hood Celebrity.
I mean, it was so many people that came and really showed love, and I really, really appreciate it. So
shout out to Gia. I know it was a lot of work for her, too.
Yeah, shout out to Gia. And, you know, a lot of people wanted to meet Gia and see Gia, but earlier that day, her mom passed out. So her mom passed out. She had to be rushed to the emergency room and given IV and everything like that. So she wasn't able to get there too late because she was handling mom duties. But, you know, the family still made it. It was just a great event. So shout out to everybody that came out. Such an amazing
day.
Does
Cardi have a license yet?
Yes, she does. She does have a license. Yep.
Okay.
I met Cardi's dad.
Oh, that's good.
Good guy.
I'm glad Cardi has a license because you can't vote if you don't have a license.
That's right.
So I hope she's registered to vote, and I hope she has her ID tomorrow when it's time to go vote.
I'm sure she does. So.
Yes.
Well, you don't necessarily need a license. You can use your passport, I believe, right? You don't need a license because everybody doesn't have licenses.
You need some type of ID.
Yeah, you can have a passport. You don't need a license.
Yeah, you don't need a license.
I'm just assuming. This could just be me. I would just assume. You don't have a license, you probably don't have a passport.
You know what? There's a lot of people from New York who actually don't have their licenses.
Yeah.
A lot of people here because you take the train everywhere. So there's people who...
Well, the world is bigger than New York, goddammit.
Well, I'm saying there's a lot of people who don't have a license.
Well, you don't need a license to go vote. As long as you have a state ID or
some
passport,
type of ID.
you can go down there. All right. Let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, you know, the marathon was in New York over the weekend. We'll tell you. I was looking at that like, how does somebody run 26.2 miles in like a little over 2 hours? I think that's crazy.
All right. Well, we'll get into
It'll
all
probably
that.
Probably take me like 6 hours.
And D.L. Hughley will be joining us this morning. Comedian.
My guy. That's my guy.
He was
right
at
there.
Caroline's over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite people on the whole planet, man.
All right, so we'll talk to him in a little bit, too. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yeah.
Weezy, out of here.
The dash of digi, the schedule busy, my head in a...
No keys, tell him my clothes, no stash, please. Soon as you can go, leave. Got M's in the bank, like, yes, indeed. Me and my dog going all the way. When you're living like this, they supposed to have. Brand new whip, got no keys. Tell him my clothes, no stash, please. Soon as you can go, leave. Got M's in the bank, like, yes, indeed. Me and my dog going all the way. When you're living like this, they supposed to have.
All right. Morning, everybody. It's DEJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. All right. Now in football, the Steelers beat the Ravens 23-16. The Bears beat the Bills 41-9. The Panthers beat the Buccaneers 42-28. The Chiefs beat the Browns 37-21. The Dolphins beat the Jets 13-6. Vikings beat the Lions 24-9. The Falcons beat the Redskins 38-14. Texans beat the Broncos 19-17. New Orleans beat the Rams 45-35. The Patriots beat the Green Bay Packers. And the Brick City Lions out in Newark beat Bergen 20-14. And shout to my son's team because they are going to Disney to play.
Hey, people back watching football, too. That fake boycott been stopped, all right?
I
know some of these people that, you know, been doing this fake boycott, but yesterday when the Rams played the Saints and the Saints is 7-1, the Rams is 8-0, I know some guys that was like, hey, man, I'm watching football. Straight up, I'm watching this week. I got to cheat this week.
Well, tonight, your Cowboys take on the Titans in Monday Night Football.
Yes, and I'll tell y'all if I watch tomorrow.
Depending on if they win or lose.
It all depends. My boycott depends on whether or not they win or lose this week. All right.
What else are you talking about, Yee?
Well, since you're talking about football, by the way, over the weekend, one of the 49ers cheerleaders actually took a knee during the national anthem.
How you see that if you're not watching football?
It was all over the place.
Yeah,
all over
it was
the
viral.
Blogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was everywhere. They haven't identified who she is yet, but she was the first cheerleader to take a knee in football.
Okay.
Also, the marathon, since we're talking sports, the marathon happened in New York over the weekend.
What?
All right, man.
What, you seen her take a knee?
Drop on a clues bomb for her for taking a knee.
Put her on a revolt again so I can see. Why you laugh like that?
Because you said she's the first cheerleader to take a knee. How we know? Nobody paid attention to the cheerleader.
You stupid.
All right, cheerleader probably been kneeling and we just never
paid
attention.
Well, that's the reason why it actually went viral.
I don't know, man.
The Giants ain't got cheerleaders.
Really?
No.
Wow.
Right. So that's a big deal. So anyway, let's talk about the New York City Marathon and the winners of that. Lelisa Desisi of Ethiopia won the men's division. He won in 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 59 seconds. So congratulations to him. That's 26.2 miles.
Wow.
All right. And also for the women, the victory went to, I don't want to mess up anybody's names, Kitani. She finished in 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 48 seconds, more than 3 minutes ahead of the next closest runner. That's her fourth New York City Marathon win in the last 5 years. So congratulations to Mary Kitani from Kenya. All right, now let's talk about voting, because we do have to vote tomorrow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the polls are opening at 6 a.m., right, Charlamagne? You're trying to go pretty early?
In Jersey, it's 6
a.m. in Jersey.
I don't know if that's everywhere, but in Jersey, it's
New York, I think, I'm not sure. I thought New York was 5, but I know Jersey's definitely 6 a.m.
So what they are saying could potentially be the outcome, but as we all know, anything could happen. Democrats could win a narrow majority in the House. Republicans would keep the Senate and possibly gain a few seats, but it's very important for you guys to go out and vote to make sure that we get Well, I don't know what everybody is, but make sure that your party, whatever that is, gets some type of control. But vote for people's policies and make sure you research who stands for what so you can actually vote for whose policies are closest to what you believe
in. Yeah, vote for your own interests, man. Mm-hmm. And I know some people are disgusted by politics and y'all don't think politics matters, but truth be told, y'all don't have any other bright ideas.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right, and the world's first underwater hotel has opened in the Maldives. The Conrad Maldives has opened. That's the first time ever. You've been in the Maldives, Envy?
Yes, real amazing place. Beautiful.
All right. Well, this underwater hotel is a two-story villa that's more than 16 feet below the Indian Ocean. It's called Muraka, which means coral. And it costs $50,000 a night. But you can't book it for just one night. You have to book at least four nights. So it's a $200,000 package that includes a personal chef for all meals and the use of a private boat.
Is there a reason you're telling us this?
Just letting you know, it's the
especially
first
being that I'll never
underwater
be able to
hotel
afford to
residence.
Go to something like that ever in my life.
$50,000 a night? No.
Like, we went from talking about voting to talking about something that's $50,000 a night.
Listen, just be aware.
I thought you were about to tell us a secret cheat code that we could possibly all attend.
But y'all should take a look at it online. It looks amazing.
I'll look at it.
Just so you can see what it looks like.
Thank you, Yee. I'll go look at it. And,
jeez.
You know,
would you want to stay at an underwater hotel?
For free.
If I could,
if they were going to pay for me to go, $50,000 a night?
Yeah, even if I hit that Powerball, I wouldn't pay that. That's just too much. That's a lot of money.
How many tuitions is that at $50,000 a night?
Maybe you can get 20% off or something.
20% off?
All right, y'all. Y'all go vote because they said that if the Democrats get in the House, we all go in the
Maldives
for
free.
For $50,000 a night, okay? That's our reparations.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad weekend, or maybe you want to spread some positivity, all right? Or maybe you have tried to book your room at the $50,000 a night hotel.
You can't book it yet, anyway.
And your credit card got declined. But whatever it may be, call us now. Now it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Run for my money. There's nobody, no one that'll run me. So can you run for my money? It's been bubbly, feeling lovely. Living lovely.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, DJ RV. It's Kelly from Erie.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning.
I am blessed, but I've been waiting all week because Charlamagne's been out doing book signings. I wanted to personally congratulate him on his new baby and his book.
There you go.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Charlamagne.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
No problem. We're trying to get out there. I don't know where you're going to be next, like on the 16th. We were trying to get out there, but it's just conflict with jobs and my job and everything. So I'm going to try to make it though to your next book signing.
I'm going to be in the Barnes & Noble in Clifton, New Jersey on November 9th with Dr. Oz.
Okay, which one after that?
I'll be at Prairie View, Texas. The school, don't give me the line, but I'll be, but it's on the 17th.
Is there a website people can go to?
Yes, you can go to cthabook.com, cthabook.com.
I'll follow him on Instagram. I'm sure he got his dates on Instagram.
Good morning, Angela Yee. Sorry, I didn't want to forget you.
Hi.
Oh, listen, Opal Johnson Smith Auditorium in Prairie View, Texas, November 17th. I'll be there.
Tasha.
Yeah.
Good morning, Tasha.
Good morning.
Get it off your chest.
It's me and my husband on the road right now. We want to say how blessed we are this morning.
Where y'all going? Where y'all going?
Blackburn, South Carolina.
Oh, y'all going to stop at Bojangles for breakfast?
I doubt it.
Okay.
Y'all in the truck or y'all in your car?
We in the truck.
I blow the horn.
Oh, yeah, you definitely ain't stopping at Bojangles. Hey.
All right, thank you, brother.
Move out the way.
Joe.
Yo, DJ Envy, what up, man?
What's up, Joe? Get it off your chest.
Yeah. I'm feeling good and positive this morning. It's a Monday morning. I'm blessed. I feel happy, man. You know, every day is a blessing. You know, you wake up, you see another day. You know, I'm happy. You know, I was at the car show this weekend, man. It was one of the people that came through and hollered at you with my family. You love your vibes.
Thank you, bro.
Charlamagne the guy, I'm kind of said that car I was looking for, one of the cars I was looking forward to seeing, man. I wanted to see how smoked out
somebody told me that they didn't want no smoke. So when they said that to me, I was like, well, I ain't going to pull up in the 03 Escalade with 400,000 miles on it, because that's all it got for you is smoke when it cranks up. You know what I'm saying? So I fell back on purpose.
Yeah, man, I hear you, man, yo.
Thank you for coming out, bro.
Love y'all, man. Keep doing your thing, man.
Thank you.
All right. Mitch!
Yo.
Mitch, they say you're the nicest when it comes to wheelchair basketball, bro.
Yo, man, I'm the nicest, bro. You don't even understand, but my team went all the way out to L.A. this weekend, man, and blew it, bro. Blew it. We choked up out there like if we never played basketball before in our life.
What's your nickname on the court? Chad Jordan?
No,
nah, man. Money Mitch. All my shots is money.
Money Mitch.
No doubt.
All right, bro. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you.
Oh, money. Just a quick question. Never mind. Have a good one, man.
You're about to say something so ignorant.
Nah, what's up?
Are the rims regulation or do they lower them or how do they do that?
Nah, man. The rims is regular, man. Everything's regular. The three points regular. It's the same shit.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Thanks.
It seemed like everything would be traveling.
Shut up, man. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Kev, hello, Kev.
Envy, what up?
Get it off your chest, bro.
Look, man, I went on a date with a girl this weekend. It's the third date, right?
Right.
So I paid for the first couple dates. So this date, I'm acting like I don't got my wallet. So I tell her, you know, I'm like, you pay for this date, I don't got my wallet and all that. She like, you don't got your wallet, what happened? I'm like, I just left it at the crib, I made a mistake. She like, all right, I'm gonna pay or whatever. So she goes to the bathroom. She says you gotta go to the bathroom and freshen up. Yo, Shorty never comes back.
I mean.
I'm gonna close bonds for Shorty. You know what I'm saying? Shorty is focused.
I'm gonna close bonds for Shorty. Shorty never, I'm waiting for 20 minutes. I'm like, yo, what she taking a
Nah, Shorty know a bum when she smell one. You know what I'm saying? Shorty didn't want to get finessed. That's
and you
all.
Shouldn't have been playing games like that. Pretend to forget your wallet to try to make her pay.
I just wanted to see what type of girl she was.
Well, now you know.
Well, now you got it now.
Now I know. She blocked my number. I can't get in contact with her. Like,
she probably knew you were lying about forgetting your wallet.
Chick is crazy, man.
You crazy for lying and pretending to forget your wallet.
Dumbass. She can smell the finesse, man. Salute to her.
Jamie.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
I called you about 2 weeks ago on a Friday, and you guys let me go on the air and talk about my business. So I wanted to tell you thank you.
What business?
People have been contacting me online. Some of them are perverts, but you know, some people have been contacting me online. I own Annie Hodge TSC. My business started because I wanted to give the soldiers a piece of home when they were away from home.
Right.
To prevent suicide.
Mm.
And since then, I've been doing it for not just the soldiers, I've been doing it for civilians as well, so I'm very grateful. I also wanted to say, Charlamagne, oh my gosh, I finished your book.
The new one?
I finished, yes, the new one in 2 days.
What you think about it?
I love it.
Thank you very much.
It's great, and I really wanted to know more about the parents' anxiety because I had that. Even though my children are grown, they still stress me. I got one who just thinks she's invincible.
Right.
So
I think parental paranoia is something that we all suffer with, and I don't think it ever goes away.
Thank you, Mama. Hey, get it off your chest, Mama.
Hi. I don't know if you guys remember me. I called a couple of months ago. Can you kind of bleep my name out? I called a couple of months ago anonymous. I was having issues in my life.
You changed your number on me?
Yes, I did change my number.
She was like, leave me alone, Envy.
This lady, she was going through some problems, and
she called during ASCII.
Yeah, she called during ASCII, and she was having suicidal thoughts. I've been speaking to her.
We got her help with the therapist and everything.
Yeah, Angelique gave her a therapist, and then
so what's going on? Give us your update.
I think I'm much better. I am much better at problem solving, like Envy Health and, you know, Dr. Jasper. And thank you so much, Angelique, for just requesting or just, you know, suggesting him. He's been awesome. I check in once a week with him, and he's really given me some really good advice. Nothing perfect, but I'm able to, you know, deal with it much better. And I repaired my relationship with my father. So
great.
Yay, that's great. What? I'm so happy that all that worked out for you and that you're well on the road.
How's your son doing?
To feeling better.
He's doing good. He's all eight.
That's good. Thank you for calling, Mama.
I love that.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your help. I really appreciate it. Y'all have a wonderful day, okay?
All right, we love you.
And shout out to Dr. Jasper. He's a clinical psychologist, and he has been on this show before.
Absolutely.
And he's been helping us out when we had some ASCII serious issues like the ones that had.
I was talking to her every day for like a good 30, 45 days, and the doctor was calling. And she was doing great. So I'm happy that she's even doing better, all right? Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about a celebrity who has to pay millions in back taxes to the IRS. Also, today is jury selection for this infamous person. And, I mean, I don't think I would want to be on this jury, but you tell me what you think.
No. All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, salute to Israel Adesanya. He's from Nigeria. He was fighting this weekend at UFC 230. He had a first-round knockout, and he walked out to smile, bitch, man. Drop one of Clue's bombs for the man they call Style Bender. And he did an interview on ESPN where he said he read my new book, Shook One, so I appreciate him because he appreciates me and mine.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get to these rumors. Let's talk Angela Simmons.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has
Club. Well, our condolences go out. Angela Simmons, the father of her son and her ex-fiance, Sutton Tennyson, was shot and killed at his house. They said it appears it was the result of a home invasion robbery.
Damn.
They have a 2-year-old son together, and she posted acknowledgement of it. It's just so sad that her son's going to grow up without his father around. She said, thank you for leaving behind my greatest gift. I'm hurting. I'm numb. Thank you for the outpouring of love, everyone. I can't believe I'm even saying rest in peace, Sutton. I promise to hold SJ down in every way. I promise. And then she posted a photo, a video of their son looking at video on the phone of himself and his father. And she posted, reflecting, he keeps replaying it, R.I.P. Sutton.
First of all, I'm going to tell you why this is super horrible. It's horrible for a number of reasons, but that is one of the biggest sources of my anxiety. I've said that a number of times. That is a thought that I try to dismiss out of my brain all the time, which is a home invasion. You be laying in your house and you just be thinking that for some reason. That's why I got all these alarms. That's why you got guns. That's why you got 911 on speed dial. Like, I think about all of these type of things, and I don't know why.
And I tell people all the time, too, if you do have an alarm system on your house, put the ringer or the chime on. I know it gets confusing and it gives you a headache, but anytime that door opens, a window opens,
well, it was an argument that happened.
Oh, no.
He was arguing with somebody, and they said somebody else, I guess, the argument escalated, and he ended up getting shot. He was talking in the driveway with another
man. Home invasion.
Right, it was at his home.
No, home invasion means somebody kicked in your door. They broke into your house. That's what I think a home invasion is.
Well, he was outside arguing with somebody. That argument escalated, and then somebody else, they said, pulled up, and the suspect fled.
That's
in the
not
car.
A home invasion.
Well, that's what everyone's calling it, home invasion. So
it's not a home invasion.
It was at his home.
Well, I'm just telling anybody that owns a home or lives in a home, put the chime on your alarm system.
Yes.
That way, if anybody comes in the middle of the night, the wind blows, the window opens, it goes off, and you know exactly what it is.
If a pan falls in my kitchen, all the alarms go off in the house, okay?
Everything. All right, now let's discuss Floyd Mayweather. It looks like he's coming out of retirement, and this time he's going to be fighting a highly regarded kickboxer, Tenshin Nasukawa.
Oh, my God.
And that's going to go down New Year's Eve in Tokyo. So they're going to have rules for the bout and the weight class determined later on. But they're pretty infamous there for doing things where they kind of mix and match people from different fields.
That's just for that market. I can tell that. You know what the payoff is going to be out in Japan?
He's going to, it's going to be that's a crazy amount of money.
Floyd Mayweather has to fight to live, y'all. I don't care what y'all say.
I don't care
what y'all say. I think he has to fight to keep that lifestyle up, man. I'm telling you. I think he's working check for check.
I don't know if he could. Maybe he just can't turn down $500 million. That's tough because he know he's going to win.
He's 42 years old. Nobody wants to be getting kicked on and punched on at 42 years old, bro. And eventually, Father Time is going to catch up. Father Time is undefeated. I'm sorry.
All right. Congratulations to Kenya Moore. She gave birth early to her first child with Mark Daly. She's 47 years old, and she's a mom for the first time. So congratulations to her. They had their baby girl, Brooklyn Doris Daly.
What was that about, Ivy? Did you see what Ivy just did when you had made that announcement?
What?
He was like, damn, what
happened was,
you wanted that to be you?
No, I ordered
I
got to order my kids lunch for the whole month.
Shut up, man.
So this has nothing to do with it.
No.
All right, so let's move on.
I deleted it. Paying attention.
You asked me, so I told you.
I thought you was upset that Kenya had a baby by somebody else.
No, I deleted my kids lunch by accident.
All right, okay.
All right.
Shouldn't have asked him.
All right, so congratulations to her. Now she posted a picture of herself in the hospital. She said, if you want to make God laugh, have a plan. Won't be long now. Pray for us, baby Daly. So they did have the baby. This is her first child. The baby was born early. She was due around Thanksgiving. Wesley Snipes has to pay $9.5 million in back taxes to the IRS.
Still, this has been like 15 years.
It's an ongoing thing. You know, he went to jail for 3 years originally, and they asked for $23.5 million, the IRS. He responded a compromise for $850,000. That would have let him settle his debt and had that tax lien against his home withdrawn, but they rejected that offer.
So, yeah, he owed 23 and said, look, I'll just give you $800,000.
Yeah, basically, but that didn't work out.
I ain't mad at him.
So now the tax court judge is saying that he failed to convince the court that he doesn't have the assets to pay more than $850,000. So now that amount was, however, reduced to $9.5 million. So that's a big difference, 23.5 to $9.5 million
yeah.
to fight for. So he still is not trying to pay that, though.
IRS, let's have a convo, okay? You can't put people in prison, and then when they come out, they still owe you, okay? How can I make money in prison, number one? And I'm giving you all this free labor. Shouldn't this count to my bill? If I do 3 years in prison, shouldn't this count to my bill?
Well, I ain't paying you, what, 50 cents a day, so.
I don't care.
I guess the whole thing is it's a crime for the whole lying and tax evasion. And then on top of that, you still have to pay.
Yeah, but it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars just to keep a prisoner a year. So the money that it costs to take care of me in jail, can't you just take that off my bill since I'm giving you all this free labor?
I guess not. All right, and I just want to say jury selection starts today for the El Chapo trial. That is not a jury that I would want to be a part of. There's an anonymous pool of potential jurors. About 1,000 New Yorkers were sent a 31-page questionnaire. They're going to be in Brooklyn Federal Court today, and they're going to see El Chapo today. They're going to be transported to and from the courthouse by federal guards, the jurors.
If I had to be on one of El Chapo's jurors, I'd be in there dressed like Kodak Black was when he was on The Breakfast Club. Yeah. I have a ski mask on.
I wouldn't do it. I'd be
you
sick.
You don't have a choice. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
I'd be sick. I'd make all type of excuses. All right, thank you.
I'm walking there with a free El Chapo t-shirt. They'll tell me to go home.
They definitely would.
Simple as that.
All right, when we come back, we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
Well, imagine you were going on a flight that was supposed to last 8 hours, and it ends up being 77 hours.
What? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk about it when we come back. And don't forget, D.L. Hughley will be joining us next hour. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
I wonder if LMA booed up going to get new life now that it's cuffing season. I feel like it already went through a winter already.
Nah, it's done. It's definitely
it still
winter.
Sounds good. Y'all were still in here, booed up.
Nah.
I mean, it is cuffing season.
Yeah, but it's been already. We did this last cuffing season. We need a new one.
Fireplaces going. Mm-hmm. You know it's going to be cold. Mm.
All right. You get to sit at home and watch The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix.
Nah, I ain't doing scary movies now. All right, well, let's get some front page news. Now in sports, the Steelers beat the Ravens 23-16. The Bears beat the Bills 41-9. The Panthers beat the Buccaneers 42-28. Kansas City Chiefs beat the Browns 37-21. The Dolphins beat the Jets 13-6. The Vikings beat the Lions 24-9. The Falcons beat the Redskins 38-14. The Texans beat the Broncos 19-17. The Chargers beat the Seahawks 25-17. The Saints beat the Rams 45-35. The Patriots beat the Green Bay Packers 31-17. And the Brick City Lions, that's the son my team plays on in Newark.
I was like, what team is that?
They beat Bergen 2014. They are going to Disney World to play. So congratulations to the Brick City Lions, all the coaches, and all that good stuff.
All right, dropping the clues bomb for everybody who's back watching football.
They get to go to Disney World?
Yes.
Well, speaking of Disney World, imagine you were actually going to take a flight from London thinking you're going to Disney World to have a great time, and when it's time to go back home, you have a 77-hour flight. What should have been an 8-hour flight turned into 77 hours. Well, I'll explain to you what happened. So originally, the flight was supposed to leave Orlando Thursday evening, but passengers waited for 4 hours. They said there was a technical problem that had to be repaired. They were actually forced to get off the plane, and they had to stay in a nearby hotel. So they said, imagine 200 people turning up in the early hours to check into a hotel. They said it was chaos, and there was not a single British Airways representative in sight taking charge. Then they had to go back to the airport, and it was delayed twice before they eventually left on Friday night at 8 p.m. Then, right after they took off, the plane was diverted to JFK Airport right after takeoff. They said the original problem the plane had come back. They had to drop the landing gear. They had to lose fuel to make the plane lighter. And then they diverted to JFK. They said it was the roughest 1.5 hours on a flight. Children were having panic attacks. The turbulence was awful. People were scared, tired, and hungry. Then they got to JFK and they told people there was no way to get a hotel because of the New York City Marathon and everything was booked.
Damn.
That sounded like they was on Spirit. I can't believe that was British Airways.
Jeez.
That sounded like Spirit all goddamn day.
So there were just people sleeping on the floor in the terminal. One couple said they got a hotel, but the airline didn't pay for it.
I want to go to Disney World after that. F and Mickey Mouse. I want to go home. Okay.
So eventually they left Saturday night and got back to London Sunday morning. They said it was just a journey from hell.
So they never got to Disney World.
No, they were leaving Orlando, going back to London. So that's the end of their trip. If you were coming from London, going on vacation to Disney World. Had to be a nightmare. And since we're talking about hotels.
London ain't got no amusement box?
No, but Disney World is different,
but Disney World is huge for the world.
Mm. Yeah, people want to. Well, not for me, it's not. I've never been.
Yeah, you've never been.
Now let's talk about, again, this hotel residence that opened underwater in the Maldives. I see a lot of people tweeting about it now. The Conrad Maldives has opened the world's first ever underwater hotel residence. It's a two-story villa. It's more than 16 feet below the Indian Ocean. You have a bed, shower, other typical components of a hotel, but you also have a private gym, a bar, an infinity pool, butler's quarters, an ocean-facing bathtub, and an underwater bedroom that has views of the ocean. So it's $50,000 a night.
I really want to apologize to all our listeners for Angelique continuing to report this story and rub it in y'all face. I do not know why she keeps talking to y'all about a $50,000 a night hotel.
Now, you don't know if our listeners can afford this or not.
I can't.
Okay.
So I know my listeners can't.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Yes, it is, goddammit.
That's not true.
You do not know that.
That is not
now,
true.
You have to book it for at least four nights, so that's a $200,000 package. You do get a personal chef for all your meals, and you get the use of a private boat as
what
well.
What else, ye?
So imagine if you have enough points, right? Because you automatically...
Points for what kind of points?
Hilton.
Knock it off.
If you book this, you actually automatically get Hilton Diamond status.
So maybe
you
have enough
points. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, is there any Groupons for it? Can I get a discount?
I'm sure there's no Groupons.
What are you talking about? $50,000 a night? That's tuition.
But it's just something fascinating to look at an underwater hotel.
That's something to put on your vision board.
And don't forget to vote, you guys, tomorrow.
Let's go vote.
We have to vote.
I'm supposed to think about voting.
If you haven't voted early.
I can't afford $50,000 a night to do something.
Well, maybe there's something on the ballot that's going to actually make you attain that. But yes, everybody, if you have problems or there's things that you want to see addressed and you have politicians that you support, get out there and vote. If you don't know what you support, do some research, find out who's running in your district and get out there and vote.
Absolutely.
Vote for your own interest, man. Simple as that. I don't care what it is. It could be one thing that interests you. Vote for it.
Go out
one
and vote.
Thing.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, when we come back, D.L. Hughley will be joining us. All right.
Yes.
We'll kick it with D.L. Hughley. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. We got one of my favorite people in the building right now.
Yes.
I'm here with Mark Twain, huh? And Mark Twain.
D.L. Hughley is here. What's good, my brother?
What's up, man? I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you, sir.
You know what you're great at? Being you.
That's it.
And Angie, what they're fine at.
Stop it.
This is not sexual harassment because we don't work together, so don't say that.
And you're not making her feel uncomfortable.
I'm
either.
Not making her feel yet, goddammit.
Listen, the thing with DL is he can get away with saying anything anyway. It's still funny.
But I think, you know, it's so funny because now when I watch comedians who feel like they have to ask for permission to have a thought that's separate, then it's silly to me. The only way, I have to ask permission from my father when I was a kid. I don't have to ask permission from an audience. Like, they either dig it or they don't. Or the worst is that going to happen to me is that Twitter get mad. What the f*** is that?
You got to ask permission if you want to pull your d*** out and d*** off.
Yeah,
like,
you want
like
to.
Like Louis C.K., yeah. But I'm just saying.
But I didn't even think, like, to me, like, that whole, like, I understand the premise of the Me Too movement. And I think my problem with it is that it's inconsistent.
Yes.
It's like there's a difference between Louis C.K. and Harvey Weinstein.
Now, hold on now. I gotta push back on you a little bit because I agree with you. But during the whole Kavanaugh situation, that's one of those ones where that didn't fall under the Bill Cosby umbrella. Like they had the meme up saying, what's the difference between Bill Cosby and Kavanaugh? I'm like, well, Kavanaugh is accused of being drunk and groping a woman. Bill Cosby was drugging and raping. That's a big difference.
Right, No. Kavanaugh attempted to rape the girl.
Right.
He attempted to rape her, and the difference between Bill Cosby and Kavanaugh is complexion. That's really the truth, and I think that they all should be viewed the same. Kavanaugh sought to use, he tried to take something a woman wasn't giving him, and he has power and privilege. Like, to me, that was about white guys, powerful white guys, protecting another powerful white guy. Bill Cosby should be in prison next to Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Yeah.
I think the problem with me is that so many perverts like get jobs where they can wear robes. I don't understand that. Like, if you're a pervert, you should have pants on.
Always.
My only problem, I don't have a problem with the Me Too movement because I got three daughters, so anything that makes the world a better place for women, I'm all for. I just don't like them weaponizing it to try to take people out. Like, you saw what they're trying to do with Mueller now.
Right. But it's the same thing, and the biggest problem I have with Me Too movement is that women tend not to believe women. When women believe women, this will be a lot different thing. Look at how many women say, I'm a victim, and I acted like this, so I don't see why she didn't act like I would have acted.
Right. Women will say that. But I will say this, going back to Bill Cosby and that it was his power. He got away with that for decades before anything happened.
It's all power, though.
You know, so that is not about his complexion. It was.
But when you look at Kavanaugh, he got away with it for decades, too.
Yeah, but I think this is the first time these allegations have been brought up, right, against Kavanaugh. For Bill Cosby, this has been going on with women coming forward and accusing him. Whether or not those cases ended up going anywhere was a different situation.
I think we're making the same point.
Yeah.
I think that no matter how long ago it was or how many it was, they are the same type of men, where they've used, you know, one used celebrity and one used wealth and privilege to take advantage of somebody.
There's one thing that I really want to know about the Cosby case more than anything. Was the really trying to buy NBC?
But, you know, a lot of people say that, but Bill Cosby, I know this for sure. Now, Bill Cosby, when we were on Def Jam, he hated Def Jam. He hated it. And he sat on the board of Time Warner, and he actively sought to make sure that we didn't get to keep up. Like, all the cats you love right now,
you wouldn't
see had he been on, because he liked it done a certain way.
As an OG king of comedy, what do you think of all of this comedian beef that's been brewing the past couple months?
They can go home and cry in a pile of money. Like, that's broke people shit right there. Like
why y'all
that, that's some shit you have when your shoes is too tight. Like, I don't. It proves that creative people sometimes don't burn off enough energy. It just makes me sad because this is an art form I love. It's clearly enough of an audience to go around, and it's enough projects to go around, and nobody has to blow anybody else's candle out to burn brighter. I never understood that part of it.
And I don't remember people actively, like, trying to tear down Chappelle when he was the guy.
No.
Or tearing down Rock when he was the guy.
No.
Eddie when he was the guy. I mean, I was young, but I don't remember that.
No.
I think things like that didn't go viral. Like, if they did, we might just not have heard about it all.
But that's what I'm asking him. Yeah.
I think that, one, they were singular. It was, like, there's never been so many at one time. Like, there are a lot of people, and I think that they may feel like they competed for the same space. But we're so individual. Like, when we did Kings of Comedy, there was never anybody who wanted somebody else to do bad so they could do good. And we toured together for a long time. As a matter of fact, we had this situation where if you went over on time, you had to pay $1,000 for every minute, and we would donate that to charity. And we didn't raise a dollar.
You're like, I am not going over.
Because you just respected people.
Right.
Like, you respected people. Like, I think that there is this idea, and I don't know if it comes from the fact that social media is so rampant, but this idea that I have to denigrate you in order to elevate myself, and I think it's fear. Mm-hmm. It's fear that somebody's going to take something from you or that you're not enough. And I think that same fear is the one that makes you great. But when it used that way, I think it's detrimental.
When Cedric was here, he was saying that the Kings of Comedy 2 was about to happen.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a lot, you know.
What was unfortunate? What happened?
Steve, Bernie, you know.
They had a beef, right?
Yeah, but they did.
And then Bernie passed and it never happened.
But then Bernie, so even at that, it would have just, by the time it came about, like, we were close to signing a deal and then something came up. And
what was Steve and Bernie beef about?
I think Bernie specifically felt like he wasn't going to, people didn't get him. Like, the black audiences got him, but networks didn't. And Steve at that time, you know, was on the ascent, and Bernie felt like he wasn't going to get his shot, and I think there was a little bit of resentment there. In the end, Bernie felt like he wasn't respected and getting what he wanted. In the end, he did, and after he did it, he just didn't want to do it no more. He's like, I'll do my own thing.
So he did the network thing and realized that wasn't shit.
Right. So he literally was a guy that would do what he wanted to do. But he was the most confident human being. But I think that he felt as if, and if you listen to, you know, the beginning of the Kings of Comedy, he felt as if that the country would never accept him. And once they got a dose of him, they did.
All right, we got more with D.L. Hughley. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. D.O. Hughley is here. Yee.
Before we came in here, you were talking about your relationship with T.K. Kirkland.
Yes.
And telling me things I didn't even know.
T.K. was my mentor.
I love T.K., man.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's one of the funniest dudes that ain't never got the shot.
T.K. was my mentor. Like, my son, Kyle Aris Hughley, is named after his son, Aris.
Really?
Yes. T.K. one time used my medical benefits at the L.A. Times to get his teeth fixed. And my wife is mad at me from this. And that he just walked away from the bill. Like,
you knew he was using
the bill? No, he said he was me and got his bill. Yeah, I was, you know, he was my mentor. So what was I going to do?
How much was
tell
that
him
bill?
No.
Nah, I was a kid then. He really, more than anybody else that I've ever met, had for no reason other than he loved comedy, took me under his wing. Like, a matter of fact, when he went on away to tour with NWA, he had two clubs. One was Zeno's and one was Birdland West. He goes away. He lets me host. He comes back. They go, we're going to stay with you. And he never really, you know, that was my entree into comedy. When people would come see me at the Birdland West or Zeno's or at the Comedy Act.
TK, he's a lot like you and a lot like Chris Rock in the fact that he can talk about things that is going on in just life in such a cool delivery on stage.
Yeah.
He's really giving you life lessons and you laughing at him.
He really, and I think I've learned, that's one thing I learned from him. And I think he's unapologetic. I think he's unflinching. I think he also is a confident man. Like, to me, what's going on in the world, I don't like cowards. I don't like, because I spent so much of my life being one when I was a kid. Mm. So now when I see it, I recognize it right away, and it's something that I'm averse to. Like, to me, that's my whole thing with Kanye. And my problem with him is that people are dying now.
People
are dying. You're normalizing behavior that is killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's not about just saying we should reach out to you. You're complicit in the deaths of people by normalizing behavior. We're getting more and more used to this rhetoric. We're getting more and more used to the things that people say.
People are saying, well, Donald Trump said this, and the reason why I went and shot this up is because of Donald Trump.
You know, and they make these moral equivalents. They go, well, Bernie Sanders supporters shot Steve Scalise. Well, you know, that's like saying Jody Foster is responsible for Hinckley shooting Reagan.
Yeah.
Like, Bernie Sanders never said anything to weaponize him or give him action. Donald Trump is specifically, when you say you're a nationalist, you are using the parlance of the right wing. When you say somebody's a globalist, you are saying what they say. And you don't get to pretend like you don't. And there's no more equivocation. You either are or you ain't. And what he says about black people is funny to me. The unemployment's never been this... He can't be racist because unemployment for black people's never been this low. Motherfucker doing slavery was pretty low and they hated
it. Right.
Everybody worked.
That's the fact.
You had a baby and you worked. So stop telling me that. You can be racist, you just can't be a coward.
Yeah.
You can be whatever you want. You just can't be a coward.
That's why I like where we at right now. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
Everybody is just saying what the hell they really feel.
Yep.
I respect it.
Yep.
I like it.
You know why American history is where it is right now? The version of America is where it is because of Google.
Yeah.
It was different when you could just say some shit that we didn't know.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? Have you ever heard yourself on a recording and you don't recognize how you sound? You're like, that doesn't sound like me. Because you hear yourself from the inside out. Everybody else hears you from the outside in. That's America right now. We don't understand how we sound.
Right.
The opiate crisis. Stop.
Right.
Stop. I remember, this is true, during Donald Trump built a temporary memorial to the victims of the opiate crisis. You know what they built for people of the crack epidemic?
Jails.
They built jails.
Jails.
Mm-hmm. So even the way we look at things, and I just don't, you can be whatever you are. You can't tell me that you're not that anymore.
Right.
If you're a racist, be a racist.
Take your stand, stay there.
And say that.
Know who you are.
But don't pretend like you didn't. Like when DeSantos called Gillum, when he say monkeying up,
around.
You know what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that one, though.
You knew what you meant.
Only reason I didn't like that one because we got so much direct racism. I'm like, oh, he's still a sucker. He still wants to say
it. Yeah, but
it
was soft. It was soft.
Yeah.
But it was cowardly.
Yeah. I like the voice call. I like the recordings better.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That was good.
I think white people should be able to dress in blackface. And
no.
When they do, I'm telling you, when they do, their credit score should drop and their cholesterol should go up. And a policeman should break into their apartment and shoot them. If white people want to dress in blackface, we should do it on Halloween, make Halloween on election year. And that way, when they go to vote, they get their vote suppressed.
There you go.
It's too many ways. Do not, like, I'm Megyn Kelly, gets to pretend, and people like her, she's more like most white women in this country than she is. Most white women who are educated get to pretend like they don't feel that way. They get to pretend like they're benign. But things, they get to turn the other way because they have husbands and brothers and uncles and neighbors who commit these atrocities, and they get to pretend like they don't see them.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about her saying, playing Clueless? Like, oh, you know, why can't we wear blackface? It's
right.
Just a costume.
If you want to be Diana Ross and you love Diana Ross, you should be able to.
Yeah, you should. You should be able to Diana Ross. But you also understand Sandra Bland got killed with blackface.
Yeah.
It ain't the popular things you like. Look, everybody likes some black people.
Right.
Like, I was very proud of Nike for taking the stance they did. But it made sense because Nike needs d-. As a matter of fact,
right.
That could be the slogan, and we wouldn't even get mad.
Yeah.
Because they do. Nike and Barack Obama were a lot alike, and they made white people feel the same, white men feel the same way. We don't need you to win.
Mm.
Barack Obama won without most white men voting for him. Nike was winning without most white men supporting them.
Yeah.
They don't need, it's a game you can't play. We don't need you.
And plus, it's a brand that ain't nobody getting. Ain't nobody
right.
getting rid of their Nike.
Yeah. But even the Nikes they got rid of look like serial killer Nikes. Yeah. Right. The only time you see the Nikes they wear when some forensic dude is going, this is a size 10 athletic shoe.
Or the pedophile ones.
Those Nikes come with a white van.
Don't you think black people took it a little too far with Nike? Though? We started acting like the logo was the Black Power Fist.
Yeah. It was but like anything else, that's how bad we need to feel good. Mm. That's how bad, like I'm going to tell you something. If you do something that resonates in black people, we will f*** with you.
Yeah.
Cosby made us feel good. We got excited by a comic book hero.
Wakanda. In Africa right there.
Right.
Like in real
Wakanda life. Was in Atlanta. You know what I mean? But the thing about it that was so tricky is that, you know, it's based on a comic book hero and they led the world in math and science and technology. Motherfucker, that ain't a comic book. That's history. Yes. You did it.
Yes.
But that's how bad we are. That's how bad we need to feel good.
All right, we got more with D.L. Hughley. When we come back, we got to talk about the state of black culture and more, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. D.L. Hughley is here. Yee.
Are there any products that you don't use because of what those the people in charge represent? Or
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of fast food products. Look, fast food don't kill more niggas than guns. And it's the only thing generally that advertises on our radio show. Mm-hmm. The problem with us is that we have a steady diet physically, spiritually, mm-hmm. and emotionally of shit that's bad for us.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even realize it's bad till you're not in the midst of it anymore. That's why, like, even with me now, that's why I'm able to go to therapy because I'm not in that hurt anymore. You can't heal when you're in the midst of the hurt.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I learned more about my father when he was dying than I ever knew about it when he was alive. Mm. And black people never know that. We put up this facade for everybody to see. We think you can't do this or it'll be weak, or you can't do that or it won't be. We need to know who we are, and we need to know that as great as we are is as flawed as we are.
Damn right.
You ask for candidates like Stacey Abrams, who said, I'm going to f*** with people who f*** with me. Yeah. I'm going to do the things that matter to me. Like Gillum in Florida. You asked for somebody that wanted to take Stand Your Ground off the books. You asked for that. You marched mm-hmm. for it. Then get your ass up and do something about it. Better old work. You ain't never seen a white man tell other white men it's wrong for y'all to keep killing black people and not say nothing about it.
No. Nope.
If you stay home now, you're cowards.
I will say, though, you do need templates. Like, I think that's one thing that we're missing in the black community. Like, we need to see one area where everything is thriving for black people. Like, how we used to have Black Wall Street.
Sure.
Or
even the Kings of Comedy
Chicago.
Is an example of that.
Yeah.
But you know
and it's
it
a
is?
Reason they destroyed them all the time.
Right.
It's a reason they systemically, or not even systemically, they blew Black Wall Street up.
Not even
purpose.
Black Wall. Look at the highway. Look at where all the highways that connected America together. Look what neighborhoods they went through. Mm-hmm. Black wealth.
Yeah.
So all the ways that we are deficient. But the one thing that I take umbrage to is the most educated segment of American population is black women. They black.
Mm-hmm. They really are greatest leaders right
That's
now.
That's right.
If we really paying attention.
So stop pretending. Do you know what happened in Alabama when Alabama turned that state blue? 98% of black women voted. They voted at a higher capacity than any other ethnicity. It was the fact that 94% of black men did. Do you know what happened if black men caught up to black women? If we were determined to work as hard as they did? Determined to not take no for an answer like they did, then we would be. The problem in our community is that we're not their equal, and we pretend to be.
Mm.
We're not their equal. To find that equal, he ain't gonna look nothing like us.
Mm-hmm.
You're equal educationally. You're equal in terms of forward mobility.
And
you're equal in
terms.
That's right. You're equal in terms of strength. When black men do what we're supposed to do, and lead, and I'm not talking about I'm dominating you. But I ain't gonna let you outwork me.
Yeah, Minister Farrakhan just said that. He said that, you know, you got all these black women that are doing everything they're supposed to be doing, but the men haven't caught up with them yet.
Listen, even if they see you lose, they can't see you not try.
That's right.
We quit all the time.
And black women, we're very supportive, too.
Yeah.
Like, when our man wants to do something, we're like, okay, at least
he's
out there.
A little too supportive. That's why we got so many mixtape rappers now.
Yeah.
If you're a woman, we
that's
stop
why we're giving
that
you to pay them out of wallets.
Do you know who does the best in parochial school? In schools that they pay for. Black men, black people excel in that. You know why? Because you ain't wasting your mama's money.
That's right, because we pay for it. When I went to private
that's
school,
right.
I had to go to school. It was paid for.
Yeah, but you got a little Asian in you, too. Math ain't quite the challenge. It ain't fair. come on, stop with that bullshit. You had to do good.
I'm going
to
send this clip to all my single homegirls. Because I be telling all my single homegirls, I'm like, it was not y'all. Y'all fine.
Right.
Y'all just ain't found y'all equals yet.
It's hard to find your equals.
Do you want to date down?
Right. If you want brighter, better men, put more onus on that.
Mm-hmm.
place value on the things that will sustain you as opposed to satisfy you for a moment.
I think that women do that.
I don't.
No, they don't.
I do. I think
absolutely not.
A lot of women look at guys who have potential to be this or they're ambitious. And like we were saying earlier, women support their black man to a fault sometimes.
Yeah, potential to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
When's the last time you seen anybody cheerleading a debate or cheerleading a math contest? Because those are the things that don't get you a job. You don't see that. But you see somebody run a ball. You see somebody drop a verse. So if you want value, invested early in things that matter.
Like, I don't know. Look, I'm an ambassador for the New York Public Library, right? I go to the library. I don't really go
because
to...
you're Asian. Stop it, Angie. stop with this bullshit. And you, when you say it, it's not quite the same. And you like math too, right?
I'm good at it.
Of course you are.
But I wouldn't say that I necessarily like it. But I will say that.
So you can do geometry and like fried chicken. It's f***ed up. It's a conundrum.
I think that certain women, and what you're thinking about are women like in their entertainment business, those might be the guys that they like. But I think in general, on average, women are looking for men who are motivated, who are stable, when they're ready to settle down.
That's the point. You made exactly the point.
Mm-hmm.
Men become men. Our idea of masculinity is based on what women like. So it starts at a very early age. You know, one of the most impactful lessons I ever had, I had a job. And I took my money from McDonald's and I went and bought groceries for the family or that my mother would buy. And so she came home and she said, "Who did this?" And I said, "I did." And my mother made my plate first. Mm. And that's the way I look at women right now.
Because it's so, like men, our job is protect and provide.
Right.
So when you provide for a woman will treat you like
listen,
a
king. Listen, I'll go one further. You ain't as a man if you're not protected and provide. The only reason we exist is to protect and provide.
That's it.
If you don't do that, you should be dead.
Now, what are men attracted to, would you say?
Easiness, intellect. It's a lot of things. It depends on how much rum I had. You know, I don't know. I think that it's a movie.
Because sometimes men are attracted to the wrong things as well.
They always.
You're right.
Yeah. Always. The thing that always cracks me up about women, I could do that just like you. And if I did that, if you did that and you acted like me, I wouldn't value you. If you remind me of me, what the f*** am I f*** with you for?
Yeah, be better than me.
But I think that, to your point, yes, men like low-hanging fruit. Men, so yeah. You
and
like
I don't think
stuff.
There's anything wrong with telling a man to put himself in the position of, well, what if I did that? You have to put yourself in. You have to put yourself in that, like, I wouldn't do something to you that I wouldn't want you to do to me.
I think you're using reason. It doesn't register the same way. Because then you have a competing narrative. I'm not excusing and I'm telling you how wrong it is and how flawed it is. But you use your logic to get me to the result that you think.
But don't you think that after you do the same thing over and over again, then at some point it's like, when do you learn your lesson?
Ask America that.
Mm-hmm.
Ask America.
But we're talking about people. I think.
I think we're collective.
Right.
We're a nation of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're supposed to learn
from your mistakes, in a relationship.
And generally you learn your lessons when something horrible happens to you.
Right.
You can rationalize almost anything you like. And I think women are just better than us. And our goal, and I said this earlier, and I think I'm being consistent. If we caught up to you educationally, in terms of entrepreneurship, we'd be a bulletproof nation. And I'm telling you, even my daughters, they were built to make men better.
That's it? How many you got?
Two.
I got three now.
Yeah, oof. I would never, every daughter you have is a bullet in the head of your youth. I know that my life is much richer for having them in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I will live 5 years less longer than I would. When I'm 82, I could have got 87 if it wasn't for you, motherfucker. Like, I have a relationship with my daughter that we used to be very, very close, my youngest daughter. We were very, very, very close. Then she found out who I was and the things I'd done. And she distanced herself from me. And now we're getting very, very close again.
Wow.
Because the image of who I was in her head has to die.
Mm-hmm.
And there can only be without a death, there can't be a resurrection. All I ever want my children to know is who I am.
Mm.
Right.
Now, the notion of who I was an idea of me. And the reality of me is significantly different.
Mm.
But I am comfortable with both of those things. And we have a romanticized notion of who our parents are. But the one thing that my daughters, I think my children know about me, if you in trouble and I don't get to you, I'm dead. And they also know I've done a lot of shit that hurt their mother.
Right.
So I don't revel in the things I've done. I'm not afraid to examine
them. That's it. DL, it's always a pleasure when you
likewise,
pull up,
man. I'm so proud of you, Mark Twain. I can't read the Huckleberry Finn. It's gonna be. I'm telling you what.
It's DL Hughley. It's the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, now shout out to DL Hughley for joining us. When we come back, we got your rumor reports. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Pete Davidson.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report. This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
Oh, man. Well, Pete Davidson's been going through a lot, as you know, with his breakup with Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And he's canceled some shows because of that. But he was on Saturday Night Live. Now, let's give you guys a flashback. On the promo, this was a joke that he made.
Hi, I'm Jonah Hill, and I'm hosting Saturday Night Live this week with musical guest Maggie Rogers.
Hey, Maggie. I'm Pete.
Hey, Pete.
You want to get married?
No.
0-3.
Now, Ariana Grande had posted under that, for somebody who claims to hate relevancy, you sure love clinging to it, huh? Thank you, next.
Yeah, so she's upset because Pete Davidson is using his life for his art, which I would think all artists do.
Well, she does have a song now, and she actually released that song. That song is called Thank You, Next, and she put it out before Saturday Night Live.
They're trying to throw my guy off.
Well, it actually wasn't a rude song or anything. Check it out.
Thought I'd end up with Shine, but it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky, now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married, and for Pete I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, cause he was an angel. One taught me love, one taught me patience, and one taught me pain. Now I'm so amazing.
Let me tell you something.
That's actually a reference to Mac Miller.
Let me tell you something.
Song is dope.
If you think I like that record, you're absolutely right. Drop on the Clues Bomb. That's a little bop there. I'm not even going to.
That song is dope, man. Rest in peace, Mac Miller.
That hook is hard, too. Thank you. Next. Thank you.
Now, it looks like the two of them, though, both know they're going to use their relationship for their artwork, which they both do.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. So it doesn't seem like it's a problem. She probably just got irritated, which she has every right to do, as he would, too. Now, Pete Davidson was on Saturday Night Live, and here's what he did say about Ariana Grande on the actual show.
And the last thing I will say is, I know some of you are curious about the breakup, but the truth is, it's nobody's business, and sometimes things just don't work out, and that's okay. She's a wonderful, strong person, and I genuinely wish her all the happiness in the world. Now, please go vote on Tuesday.
He also did make a joke about having to move back in with his mom, of course.
I just like the fact that he's focused, and he told everybody to go vote on Tuesday.
All right, now, and Ariana Grande actually tweeted, I'm so effing grateful for my ex.
Ariana also said in that record that she's already moved on and she got a new guy already.
Next.
If you listen to the whole song.
She damn.
That's why she said, thank you to my ex, next, because she's
okay.
Next. All right, now, Pete Davidson did make another joke that people had issues with, and here is that joke.
This guy's kind of cool, Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, come on, man.
Yo, hold on. You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry, I know he lost his eye in war or whatever.
All right, well, Dan Crenshaw does have, like, a patch over
a patch
one
over
eye.
That,
right,
like
so
a
that's
pirate. Mm-hmm.
What that joke meant. Now, Crenshaw did respond, and here's what he had to say about Pete Davidson's joke.
I want us to get away from this culture where we demand apologies every time someone misspeaks. We don't need to be outwardly outraged. I don't need to demand apologies from them. They're feeling the heat from around the country right now, and that's fine. But I would like him and Saturday Night Live to recognize something, which is that veterans across the country probably don't feel as though their wounds they received in battle should be the subject of a bad punchline for a bad joke. It was not funny. It was just mean-spirited, and that's how I feel about it.
All right, so
I mean, you know,
he's not demanding an apology. He thought it was mean-spirited, which he has every
right
to feel.
Just didn't like the joke, right.
Well, that's the cost of freedom of speech. You know, you make a joke like that, some people going to think it's funny, some people going to be outraged. That's the way it is.
And just so you know about Dan Crenshaw, he lost his right eye in 2012 after a bomb exploded during a mission in Afghanistan. He was told he would probably never see again, but he did regain sight in his left eye, and then he went on two more deployments after that.
Yeah, I get it. He fought for the country, he fought for us. He don't think it's funny. I don't either.
Right, so That's what his remarks were. All right, Oprah is planning to produce the Color Purple movie musical. She's going to be doing that with Quincy Jones and Steven Spielberg. So right now, that project is still in the early stages of production. They don't have a director, scriptwriter, or cast members yet, but that is the plan. So would you guys be open to seeing that?
Anything Oprah does, I'm in.
Well, I mean, that's the Color Purple musical. My wife is an avid Color Purple movie watcher. She's watched that movie a million times since I've been with her. I'm sure she would want to see that play.
Yes, I definitely do too.
So. I just don't like going to plays with people and they quoting every word. And Color Purple is definitely one of those things where people quote every goddamn line.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
Listen, man, you know, racism is as American as racism. And we'll talk about it for after the hour.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang, dunk it out of shape, man.
A donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit it with the heat.
Yeah, it's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Mr. Ed Sheeran, Donkey of the Day for Monday, November 5th goes to members of the Brookwood High School Marching Band in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Listen, man, I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. Only thing I hate on this planet is evil, all right? That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And racism, prejudice, or forms of evil that I simply can't tolerate. I remember my whole life thinking, one day we will be in a post-racial society, because I honestly thought all the old white bigots would die. I just thought that eventually the mayonnaise would expire, we would throw it out and be done with it. I didn't think that the younger generations would accept the ideologies of their crusty Caucasian forefathers, simply because the culture of hip-hop, which is black culture, has been embraced by so many kids across the world. It's hard to teach racism to your child when his or her hero is indeed someone black. But as we all have learned in more recent times, they love our culture, but they don't love us. So sadly, this disease called racism, this learned mental illness, has been passed on to, you know, some of the kids, proving once again that racism is as American as racism. And I started to say apple pie, but no, there's nothing more American than racism. Racism and prejudice is indeed the through line of America's story. And in Gwinnett County at Brookwood High School, the saga continues. Now, several parents are outraged after students in the high school band spelled out a racial slur when they hit the field for their halftime show. In a letter to parents obtained by Channel 2's Nefertiti Jacquez, drop on the clues bombs for the homie Nefertiti, the principal stated the band members normally take the letter covers off their instruments, but since it was a staffing issue, protocol wasn't followed, and then this happened. Let's go to WSB-TV for the report.
A local marching band spelled out a racially offensive word during halftime.
This was not an accident.
This mother's outrage comes after members of the Brookwood High School marching band use instrument covers to spell out a racially charged word during the school's halftime show on Friday night. These band members assembled themselves to spell out the racially insensitive word using instrument covers that are normally used to spell Broncos, the school mascot. In this letter we obtained to students, parents, and the community, the school's principal apologized for the completely unacceptable racial term and noted, quote, "Last night during what was already a busy senior night, we experienced several personnel changes that resulted in our band director not being on the field when the band took the field.
And I need them to be held totally responsible for it. I want these guys expelled."
Meantime, I also reached out to the school district tonight, and a spokesperson tells me that this is still an ongoing investigation as they review halftime procedures and talk to students.
The caucasity. The unmitigated gall. Now, if you watch us on Revolt TV, you saw what the word was. And if you follow me on Instagram, I'm going to post this story as soon as Donkey Today is over to show you the word they spelled out. Now, if you're wondering what the word is, it's coon. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this story, because I am one of those people who believe that shaming works, okay? We have to shame racists and racist acts the same way we shame pedophiles, the same way we shame rapists, the same way we shame Post Malone fans. And you kids that, you know, did that, not only should you be ashamed, you should be publicly shamed for this, since you attempted to publicly hurt people with words. You should be publicly hurt with words. Here's the thing. When I was growing up, the band kids weren't the coolest. But I think that changed after Nick Cannon made Drumline. I personally always thought being in the band was dope. Knowing how to play instruments is fly. Salute to the roots. Salute to the internet. So why are you cool kids participating in something as uncool as racism? Why do you want to follow in the footsteps of old-ass, culturally clueless white devils? All right? The most uncool people on the planet are old, racist, American white people. All right? Especially white men. If you thought that spelling out coon was going to make you cool, you're actually wrong. It actually makes you on par with the lamest people on the planet. But you still have a chance to unlame yourself by unlearning the BS that you was taught at home. And that's what everyone at this school and everyone in this band needs to do to these kids who spelled out coon in the Brookwood High School marching band. Walk up to them and tell them, unlame yourself. If you see them at school today, tell them, unlame yourself. Free yourself from racism and bigotry. Now, one of the parents, Shawn Myers, salute to Shawn Myers, she says the kids should be expelled. I have a zero tolerance policy for racism or any kind of intentional prejudice. They deliberately went out of their way to offend and call black people a racial slur. So, yes, I think they should be kicked off the band immediately for starters. And if, do I think they should be expelled? I'll say I don't care, okay? I just don't think I care. They got to learn that it is a cost to their racism, all right? This isn't America pre-segregation. You can't just be openly racist and think things will be all good. People who create their own drama deserve their own karma. And these kids deserve whatever it is they get. Please give the members of the Brookwood High School marching band who spelled out coon the biggest hee-haw. You think they should be expelled?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at the exposure.
They got to go sit for a couple days.
I was thinking like a 10-day suspension and get them kicked off the band. But I'm not mad at the expulsion. Should be a zero tolerance policy for that.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want them home for too long, just playing video games and chilling, though, you know? Detention all day at school makes more sense, I think.
Well, they should have to undergo all kinds of educational training and all kinds of things after something like that.
True.
All right.
It should be like a required, mandatory amount of that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that donkey today.
And that's the type of thing that can haunt them. Hunt them in college.
Mm-hmm. Hunt them?
Haunt them. Haunt them in college. Mm-hmm. Haunt them when they go out to get other jobs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
They need to bring in, like, the scare straight people. Like,
ooh. I dropped them off in the hood the way Justin Bieber was
dropped
this weekend.
Dropped them off in the hood.
Because they put Justin Bieber through hood training this weekend. Have them doing push-ups, playing basketball.
You had them singing to get out of here. You want to get out of here, you better start singing. Drop them in Chicago. That's what they should do. Drop them in the hood.
I got to be Chicago. Any hood USA will do.
Nah, Chicago.
You don't want them to die.
Y'all gotta stop talking about Chicago like that.
I didn't say kill them. All right. I don't want them to die.
Shout out to our people Chicago.
Shout out to the shot. All right. Now, when we come back, 800-585-1051. D.O. Hughley just left, and he was talking about his relationship with his daughter. Can we play a clip?
I have a relationship with my daughter that we used to be very, very close, my youngest daughter. We were very, very, very close. Then she found out who I was and the things I'd done. And she distanced herself from me. And now we're getting very, very close again. Because the image of who I was in her head has to die.
Mm-hmm.
And there can only be without a death, there can't be a resurrection. All I ever want my children to know is who I am. The notion of who I was an idea of me. And the reality of me is significantly different. But I am comfortable with both of those things. And we have a romanticized notion of who our parents are.
All right. Well, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. If you have kids, do you tell your kids about your past? Would you tell your kids about your past? And have your parents ever told you about their past and it's changed the way you looked at them? Let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. You know I got five, so I tell my kids everything. Everything that I ever been through, whether it was me stealing as a younger kid or me drinking or me smoking or me using drugs, weed, I tell them because I want them to know.
It's harder to hide things from your kids.
What a stupid decision was.
Your kids
are
older. My daughter's 10.
He's younger ones, too.
I started telling him at 10.
I told my daughter when I just happened to be talking one day and mentioned me being in jail, and she was like, you was in jail? What? And then we had the conversation, but yeah, not, I don't know.
You ever like, you know, daddy still wasn't that good to mommy at certain points and things happen.
All of that will come in the future.
Yeah, I tell them as they're getting older because I want them to know and I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I made. And I also don't want them to think that life is perfect and their dad is perfect.
Exactly. That's what I'm just going to tell my daughter to read my books. I got two of them. Black Privilege.
Nah, they don't want to read your books.
Shook One Anxiety
Plan
and
Trick
Go buy my books. Go order my books off Amazon right now.
800-585-1051. We'll take your calls when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about D.L. Hughley. He stopped through early and was talking about his relationship with his daughter. Let's play a clip.
I have a relationship with my daughter that we used to be very, very close, my youngest daughter. We were very, very, very close. Then she found out who I was and the things I'd done. And she distanced herself from me. And now we're getting very, very close again. Because the image of who I was in her head has to die. Mm-hmm. And there can only be without a death, there can't be a resurrection. All I ever want my children to know is who I am. The notion of who I was an idea of me. And the reality of me is significantly different. But I am comfortable with both of those things. And we have a romanticized notion of who our parents are.
So we're asking 800-585-1051. Do you tell your kids everything? Did your parents tell you everything about their past? And does it make you look at them any differently? You know me, I got 5 kids, and I tell my kids everything. I don't want them to think daddy's perfect or life is perfect. So I made mistakes, and I tell them so they don't make those mistakes. And they see the consequences of those mistakes, whether it was me being locked up or me being suspended at school or me getting in trouble. But I want them to know so they don't think life is perfect.
One thing I realized when I started writing my first book was that I did not know anything about my parents before they were my parents. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like that's not the way I want my kids to feel about me and my wife. So,
but
yes.
I think that's the era too, because I really didn't know much about my parents. Like, I couldn't tell you a lot of the pitfalls that my mother and father
were born. I don't even know how my mom and dad met. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, I don't know how you scooped her off her feet. Like, I don't know any
right.
of that.
Me neither.
You know?
Well, I definitely know how my parents met. That's probably about all I know as far as before I was here, because they both worked in a department store together in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. What store?
And that's how they met each other. I forget. It's not around anymore. It was
TSS?
No. I don't remember what it was called. But that's how I know how they met. But as far as what they were doing before that, I really don't know.
I have zero clue. So, yes, I do think that you should... You know, tell certain things to your kids. You know what I mean? It just all depends. You know, it's a case-by-case basis. Like, it's certain secrets you don't tell anybody. So you don't got to just divulge the whole, you know, backstory of your life.
I know you wild out, and I wild out a lot, too. Yeah, I'm sure wild out. But I just want them to know so they don't do this lot of the stupid things. Like, for instance, you know, the time you were driving with your friends and one of your mans had some drugs in the car.
It's been a lot of those times.
All right, forget it. But you would tell your kids that so you know, so they know, yo, you don't make sure the people in your car that you know they don't have no foul issues, because it could get you locked up.
Yeah, and I mean, but by the way, I don't have any choice but to tell my kids. My daughter's 10, my other daughter's 3, I got a 1-month-old. I have no choice but to tell them because I got books. Mm. And those books will be movies. So it's like they're going to know anyway. So, right. You know, they might as well see it before. Oh, shoot, the world already saw it because I got books out there. So yeah, I'm just going to tell them about my books.
Hello, who's this?
This is Nalena from Fayetteville.
Hey, Nalena. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Good, good, good. Are you going to tell your kids about your past and everything you did in your past?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like it's very important. I mean, just learning from my own experience with my mother. When I got older, it just changed our relationship totally, me figuring out who she was. But like D.L. Hughley said, you know, it just developed a new relationship. I have a 2-year-old and I have another daughter on the way.
Congrats.
And I just feel like it's, thank you. I just feel like it's important for your children to know, you know, about your past. I want my daughter to know I used to drink, I used to smoke weed, and how I used to party, and, you know, different mistakes I made with men, because I can't tell her to not do something.
Right.
If she doesn't know my experiences, I just don't think it's fair for, you know, parents to try to uphold that perfect image. It's just unrealistic.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think it's very unfair to uphold that perfect image, but also it's different with mothers and daughters. You know what I'm saying? If I had a son, I probably would tell my son everything. But I mean, my daughter's gonna know everything about me anyway, because most of it is public record.
And weed about to be legal everywhere, so by the time she finds out you used to smoke weed, she'll be smoking herself.
I think the best thing is so they understand the reason that we're telling them things is not because we're just trying to be high and mighty, but because we had those experiences.
It's because you already made those mistakes.
Absolutely.
You did that so they don't have to go through those certain things. That's all.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning, Breakfast Club. This is Crystal.
What's up, Crystal?
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to comment on the question for today. And my son is 13 and my daughter is 5. And I had my son when I was a little bit younger. I think I was 19, 20 when I had him. And we've always been close and had that kind of relationship. And I think it's important to express your stories and your previous experiences like that with your kids, because I became a nurse after I had my son, and that was kind of a life-changing time for me, because before that, I was kind of hell in high school. I gave my mom a fit. I was doing all sorts of stuff I probably shouldn't have been, you know?
Okay.
And in order for him to better himself, he needs to know that about me. And I think it's a respect thing. I don't think he looks down on me or thinks I'm less of a person. I think it's the exact opposite.
Okay.
Like, I think he looks at me and is like, dang, my mom was real. You know what I'm saying? Was a real person. She went through these things. And when you sit down and explain to them and they see, it's not just you saying, oh, I did that, I've been there. And
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, don't. You're not just scolding somebody. Like, you're speaking from experience.
Absolutely.
Now, shout out to Treasure Vessel on Twitter. She said, when I was 33 years old, I found out my heart, my hero, was living a lie. My father had 4 children outside his marriage. Ever since then, I've never trusted him or another man. My father broke my heart.
Well, that's a whole different ballgame now. You know what I'm saying? Like, my father was one of those guys, too. My father has 2 other daughters outside of my mother. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole different ballgame. Like, that's you living a whole different life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to talk about your experiences and things you've been through.
But that's your experiences?
Nah,
it's
another to be like, I got 4 other kids.
I got 4 kids.
You got 4 brothers and sisters you need to meet.
2 kids in the DR. 800-585-1051. Do you tell your kids everything about your past? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about DL Hughley. He stopped through earlier, and he talked about his relationship with his daughter. Let's play a clip of it right fast.
I have a relationship with my daughter that we used to be very, very close, my youngest daughter. We were very, very, very close. Then she found out who I was and the things I'd done, and she distanced herself from me, and now we're getting very, very close again because the image of who I was in her head has to die, and there can only be without a death, there can't be a resurrection. All I ever want my children to know is who I am. The notion of who I was an idea of me. And the reality of me is significantly different. But I am comfortable with both of those things. And we have a romanticized notion of who our parents are.
Now we're asking 800-585-1051. Would you tell your kids everything about your past? Me, I'm telling them everything. I just think it's a lot easier. My daughter really respects and she respects my opinion. So when something is wrong or I tell her don't do something, it's never a question. She was like, she feels like, oh, dad's been through it, so he knows what's best for me. Same thing with my wife. I think that's the best way to go for me.
Yeah, I tell them what I remember. You know what I'm saying? I tell them what I remember, and I tell them things that I think that they can learn from. You know what I mean? But I definitely think that they can learn more from their mom than me. Mm. You know? It's not like my daughter's going to ever have to sell crack. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But you never know. She might like a boy that is. So, you know, it's kind of the same
thing. And some people do stuff like that and don't have to. They just chose to.
I ain't going for that. Yeah, I'm not going for that. My, you know what's so funny? My wife's father was that way with me. Did not want her around me in no way, shape, or form.
And you see what happened.
She still did what she wanted to do. But I'm not going for it. I'm going to be just like him. I don't want you around that. Why would you?
Right.
Why would you want your daughter around somebody that's
not
dope?
Not at all. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Good morning. Good morning. It's JB from Brooklyn. What's going on, Angela Yee, Envy, and the God?
Hey,
what's
man.
Up, my brother?
Would you tell your kids everything about your past, bro?
Most definitely, man. Most definitely. I think it's dope, man, that my son would want to know about my past. And I wouldn't hide anything from him. I share everything, my deepest, darkest secrets, first kiss, first girlfriend, everything, man.
That's dope.
Okay. All right. Thank you, bro. Hello, who's this?
This is Shanice.
Hey, Shanice. Now, we're asking 800-585-1051. Would you tell your kids everything about your past?
No, I don't.
Why not?
I didn't have the most beautiful childhood, so there are certain things I don't tell her because I don't want her to be afraid of certain things.
Like what?
Well, as a kid, I was in foster care, and I didn't have the most beautiful experience, and I try to do everything that I can to keep her out of that situation.
Yeah, but she's not going to ever be in foster care, so why can't you tell her about the way you grew up?
How it made you a stronger woman and all that?
I mean, I don't tell her every little detail about it. I do tell her it happened, but I don't want to tell her everything that happened while I was there.
Right.
I'll say, man, one of the things that I regret the most is not knowing what my parents' life was like before they were my parents. Mm-hmm. Like that, like, and I think that's a lot of people out there. We don't realize what their life was like before they were our parents. I want to know.
Right. Well, thank you for your call, Mama.
Thank you.
All right. Now, what's the moral of the story, guys?
I think the moral of the story is making mistakes is better than faking perfections. And that's just how I live my life. I'm going to always share the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life. And I just think that's better than being out here faking perfections. Because everybody faking perfections nowadays. They faking perfections on social media. Then they taking that fake perfection off social media and trying to bring it into the real world. And I just think making mistakes is better than faking perfections. So it's cool to let your kids know that you made mistakes, too.
I agree with you. All right, Yee, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, let's talk about voting and Michelle Obama's star-studded telethon for America. Also, since we're talking about making mistakes, we've seen Khloe Kardashian's relationship with Tristan Thompson play out on television. We'll tell you about discovering that he was cheating on her.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Stefflon Don was on her Instagram Live, and they were joking around, her and her friend. They were saying they were looking for love. If you're interested, call. A lot of their fans were having some fun with them, and that's when another person actually chimed in on the conversation.
A really famous Instagram thought.
And this person is Drake.
Yes.
Here's what Drake had to say.
So why should you be my man then?
Because, you know what I'm saying? I'm a confident guy, can hold my own in any room, you know. And you know, we get cook up tune together in a stew. You know what I'm saying?
You win a date with me right now.
Oh yeah? So where you wanna go? You wanna go somewhere fancy and all that? Big money stuff.
Hey, man, Drake really Steph Curry with his cock.
That patois.
You cannot say that, man. Oh. You can't say that word, man.
Okay. Drake is really Steph Curry with his penis.
There you go.
He'll shoot from any goddamn well. He don't care.
He don't care.
He was actually just trying to get a feature, supposedly, allegedly.
Drake got to do all that to get a feature from...
he was showing Steph her some love.
Wasn't he just singing to another girl at another concert a couple days ago, too?
You guys are so judgmental in
drop
this
one of Clues bombs for Drake.
Just shoot
Drake is doing exactly what he should be doing.
Wasn't he just singing to another girl? You guys are blockers over here.
If you was a 32-year-old multimillionaire, you was single, Drake living his life like it's golden.
All right, Drake also says that a casino in Vancouver actually profiled him. He posted, "Park Casino is the worst run business I have ever witnessed, profiling me and not allowing me to gamble when I had everything they originally asked me for."
How you profile Drake in Canada?
You can't.
What race is Drake?
Vancouver,
is Drake even considered a race in Canada? He's just Drake.
I don't.
Like, it's black, white, and Drake in Canada.
Well, they did issue an apology, so I guess they're looking into what happened. All right, now let's talk about Remy Ma on her State of the Culture show. And there was a topic that came up about R. Kelly and his history of sexual abuse allegations, a Lifetime documentary series that's also coming out. So here is what Remy Ma had to say about R. Kelly.
He went to trial for it before. We had video of him, you know, intimate with an underage girl. We had another video where I don't think she was underage, but he was like all in her. Like, it didn't, like, most rapists don't eat ass. And I'm like, okay, so you get acquitted and you still get banished and you're still a monster. We live in a world where women and men do some sick and they be with it. If your daughter is 14, 15, 16, 17, and she wants to fuck a guy that's 20 anything, 30 anything, you're fighting against it.
Here's the thing about the R. Kelly tape. The woman whose salad he was tossing was of age. And even if the young girl was with it, she was still underage. So it's still statutory.
Statutory rape if she was underage.
Right. It's really on him. That is a crime if he did. I mean, but she's saying that he was acquitted of that crime.
Oh, we saw the tape. But a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, can give consent, but it's still statutory.
It's still statutory rape.
Right.
It's
correct.
Still a crime on his part. If you're older than that,
absolutely,
you should know better. Not saying as a young person you're making decisions that you probably shouldn't make, but it's his responsibility as an adult to not participate in that.
Yeah, so, and even if correct. He had the permission from the parents, whatever,
it's still statutory. It's against the law.
It's not a movie,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Remy did say throughout this that she wasn't picking a side. And she was not trying to defend R. Kelly. And she did say, "I'm not saying that he's right, but it felt weird." All right, now Michelle Obama's When We All Vote campaign, she's doing this star-studded telethon for America. That's going to air live. What's today's date?
The 5th.
Today. All right, it's going to air on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Comedy Central Online. So they're actually not trying to raise money. It's the first telethon in history that isn't looking to raise money. It's just to take pledges to increase voter turnout. So it's going to be live performances.
Where is it?
Comedy music, pre-taped segments, and interacting with a celebrity phone bank.
Where?
I don't know where they're filming it. But people
performing?
Appearing are going to be Amy Schumer, Jane Fonda, Charlize Theron, Jessica Alba, Judd Apatow, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Lil Rel, Chelsea Handler, like a whole lot of Minnie Driver, Aisha Taylor. A whole lot of people are going to be involved in this. I can't even give you all of the names, but it's a lot of pre-taped segments. So it's not going to be like something that you can go to. A lot of these are pre-taped. Now, let's talk about the Kardashians and the moment that Khloe Kardashian found out that Tristan Thompson was cheating. Kylie Jenner's actually the one that told her, and she had to relive this all on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She posted, "Tonight's episode is an uncomfortable and super emotional one for me, but when we signed up for this show over a decade ago, we signed up for a reality show, which meant showing you guys inside our lives." Check it out.
"There's a video of Tristan making out with a girl last night. I know. Khloe's gonna die.
I'm, like, in shock right now. I don't even know what to say.
This has gotta
an idiot.
Maybe
it's a sick joke.
Kylie just sent Chloe the article. Like, do I call Chloe?
No one had the courage to tell Chloe because we knew she was days away from giving birth. We didn't want to stress her out, but we knew that it was the right thing to do. So I'm the one that told Chloe. I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but I felt like she should hear from one of us versus on the internet.
Damn, hey, that sucks.
Tristan, you shouldn't have signed off on that one.
Nope.
Tristan could have easily...
I already dealt it. I would have been through it a year later.
You didn't have to sign off for that footage to be used.
I'm signing off on that.
I would not have signed off on that one, buddy.
Well, I'm sure they wanted to use it, and imagine him going through and doing all that and then saying, now you can't use the footage.
Yes.
You owe it to her.
No, you don't.
After all
I don't want to relive that. I don't want to put you through that again, baby.
How much do you think she don't
want family to relive that?
I don't want
to
put you through that again, baby.
She's like, look, we got to get these ratings up. It happened. Everybody knows about it already. It was already circulating online.
Nope.
What's the problem?
That happened a year ago. No, let's leave it in the past.
Hey, salute to Diddy, too, though, because Diddy's having a rally tonight at FAMU. A bring it home.
It was his
for
birthday
Andrew
too
Gill.
Over the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, yesterday was his birthday.
It's going to be at the Al Lawson Center tonight. Doors open at 10 p.m.
So all right.
He's got like Andrew Gillum's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Khaled's going to be there. Angela Rye, Monica, I believe. Will Packer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. dope. Envy, you should be there.
No, I can't make it.
Well, they tried to book him.
They tried to book me. You
know. Okay. All right. And I just want to shout out to...
It cost a lot of money.
I just want to shout out to Wu-Tang. They did a collaboration with Milk Makeup. It's their first ever collaboration with these Wu-Tang lipsticks. I got the whole entire package of it. It's very exciting. I'm wearing some right now. I'm going to post it for you guys. But it's an 8-piece lip color set. I saw it online over the weekend, and then I came in, and I had a package of this Wu-Tang Milk collaboration, Milk Makeup. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Up next is the People's Choice Mix. Get your request in, and I'm going to tell you guys all about the car show after the mix. All right, thanks you to everybody that came out to that car show. We expected like 2,000 people, and we got about 6,000. So shout out to everybody that came out. Shout out to Lincoln Tech. We sold out, and I'll talk about it later. All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Revolt. We'll see you later.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how Black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.